We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
The majority of the audience is probably doing deals on like a smaller scale, single family, smaller multifamily, maybe like a flip here and there or something like that. So far, paperwork wise, seems like promissory note is important. Potentially like getting a lien position is important. Is there any other paperwork people should be expecting or looking out for when they're considering investing in certain opportunities?
So this is not so much a legal thing, but I would say, let me see your underwriting. Let me see your pro formas, your financial analysis and your stress test. Because again, things don't always go well. You know, I have clients that are very, very, very seasoned and they still have deals that do not go how they want to. And so part of what I'm looking at when I'm looking at those that financial analysis is, one, we're trying to guess how this property is going to do in the future. And so we're making a lot of assumptions. And so I want to look at, what assumptions are you making? Are these reasonable assumptions, or are you assuming that the absolute perfect scenario is going to take place? Because if that's what we got to do for me to get a return, I don't want to invest in that, just because it would be great if the absolute perfect scenario happens. But in reality, that doesn't happen all the time. And so I'd want to see, you know, what assumptions are you making? Are you taking into account like the best scenario, maybe what you think is likely to happen, and also the worst case scenario? And I want to see, in the worst case scenario, what am I looking like? Am I at least getting my money back? Are my returns going to be lower, or am I potentially losing money? And obviously the worst case scenario is we're losing money, but we can kind of figure out, you know, what is the worst likely scenario. And so I'd want to look at all that stuff so I can, again, assess this and see, is this a risk that I'm willing to put my money into and to take on?
Got it. So it sounds like we should be like, ideally, the person raising the money should be able to provide all those three scenarios. What if things go extremely well? What if things go okay? And what's the conservative side, or if just doesn't really go well, just so that the person investing can see, all right, to your point, will I be okay? Am I okay with each of these outcomes, either of these outcomes? Does that sound right?
Yeah, and part of what I'm doing with that too, though, is I'm seeing, have they done their homework? Because if I say, can I see your financial underwriting? And they're like, oh, I don't have it. So then in my mind, I'm like, okay, so what makes you think this is actually good, other than it looks cool and, you know, you've seen other people be successful in a similar type of deal, but every deal is different. So these types of things also just indicate to me how legit is not the right word, but kind of how responsible are you being in getting into this deal? How much are you trying to look forward and see and protect against the risks that are really there?
Yeah, no, I like that. I think that's helpful in the vetting process, because I mean, if someone presents an opportunity, let's say you're like a new investor, this is like your first time investing with somebody else, if they can't produce that, maybe that's just, all right, well, maybe I'm not going to participate in this, because you clearly haven't done your homework to figure out, well, how are we actually going to make this money? Like, what are all the expenses and estimates and stuff like that? So I think it's important for people to know, like, you know, and to ask that question. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Great. So the next thing I want to talk about is syndications. So syndications, we've had like a variety of people come on the show who have groups and syndications and things of that nature. And one of the things that I think is important is like transparency, especially because syndications is like, within our community, it's not really something many of us have had exposure to. It's very new for a lot of us. So I'm glad we were able to have people to be able to speak to that. For somebody who's like brand new to investing, would you recommend starting on the syndication level or doing something smaller? What's your take on that?
So I'll give the caveat. This is not even a legal opinion. This is just more of a personal opinion. Yeah. But I like syndication. One, it's more of what my clients are doing. So I'm just around it a lot more. But I also like it more because, you know, I've talked about before how things don't go perfect. Well, with syndication, obviously there's more things happening. So there's a lot more opportunity for things to go wrong. Mm-hmm. But you also have a lot more opportunity to kind of save those things that are going wrong. Because if I have a fourplex and one tenant's gone, now 25% of my rent is gone, for at least for the month or two or until I get re-rented. If I've got a 400 unit apartment building, if one person's gone, that's not really going to be meaningful at all to the bottom line. And so you've got a little bit more wiggle room or just ways to kind of correct things when they're going wrong. But with that also, you are taking on more risk just because you got 400 people instead of four people coming to the building. So that's 400 sinks, 400 toilets, 400 guests that are, you know, going to mess up whatever. So there is more risk into it. But I think that it allows for a lot more wiggle room and maneuvering when those kind of negative things might occur on the property.
Definitely. That makes sense. And for those who maybe are not so familiar with the terminology, can you at a basic level explain like what the setup of a syndication is?
Yeah. So syndication, if we think about, you know, group economics, that's group economics on steroids. I say I want to buy or build an apartment building. It's going to cost me $50 million. I don't have that. With syndication, I don't need that because essentially I can raise that capital. And now we often would call me, if I'm the one running the deal in the industry, we call me the GP or the manager. And then you would be the passive investor. So the LP or the limited partner. And so with that, I can raise the capital from the limited partners. They're typically going to bring the most or all of the money, but I'm bringing the sweat equity. So I'm going to split those profits with you, and I'll tell you in advance how we're going to split it. And as I do the work and the property starts bringing in money, when I say, hey, we're doing well, we paid all of our expenses, we've got some extra cash, let's spread this out to the owners. I'll split some of it with the investors, and I'll take some for myself or my management team as well. And so we're all growing with that property as it hopefully performs how we're planning to. So yeah, it's basically us pulling all of our capital together. And so the cool thing that I like about syndication is that I work in it typically in the context of real estate, but it really can be used in almost anything you're trying to raise capital for and group money together, you could do that. So, you know, on higher levels, even banks, when you have like a $1 billion development, banks are actually syndicating the financing of that. You know, one bank might say, I've got 100 million. Another one might say, I've got 500, I've got 300. And they're coming together to put that loan together for the developer, but they're syndicating the money to bring that loan together. Even basketball teams can be bought with syndication. The first syndication that I did was for a movie. So somebody had a script and they said, hey, I need 800 grand to make this movie. And so we set up a syndication there. So I like syndication just because I hear about it and work about it in the context of real estate, but really whatever project you have, syndication can be a way to get the capital that you need for it.
That's so crazy. I didn't even think about it in the context of anything else besides like real estate, but it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Like I think with the Hornets, it's like a group that's purchasing Michael Jordan's stake. It's not just one person. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on something else that I've seen that people have had challenges with is investing with people who don't have any skin in the game. So they don't have a cent of their own money into the deal. What do you think about that? What's your take on that generally?
I think it would depend on the size of the deal. Mm-hmm. 'Cause with syndication, it's kind of common. A lot of times the management team might invest a little bit alongside their investors, but it's not uncommon for them to not invest. But what they are doing is they're probably giving the personal guarantee on the loan. 'Cause typically with syndication, you're not syndicating the whole whole purchase. You're syndicating the equity piece that you can't get a loan on. And so the management team, one, they're staking their reputation. They are typically giving a personal guarantee on the loan. And a lot of times they will invest, but if they don't for like a larger syndication, that wouldn't be a big red flag for me. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're talking about, you know, like a fourplex or a flip or something like that, that'd be something where I'd say, hey, you need to get in this as well. 'Cause again, it's smaller. So if things go wrong, there's less maneuverability. So that would, for, and this is just my personal, for my personal investing. So yeah, a smaller deal, I'd want you to definitely be in, but a larger deal, it wouldn't be deal breaker for me.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you mentioned on the syndication side, the fact that if someone is not maybe contributing financially, they have something on the line, reputation or personally guaranteeing the loan. So if something goes wrong, I mean, it is kind of a ding for them, which wouldn't be great. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it, especially for somebody who maybe this is like your first deal, which is probably going to be like on a smaller scale, like maybe small multifamily or single family or flip or something, probably gives you a bit more peace of mind having, knowing that somebody is at least contributing something to it. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, if it all goes bad, you're not the only one losing, if that makes sense, especially if they're the one raising it and things like that. And it's my personal opinion too.
Yeah. And particularly again, if you don't have any say about those things going bad, right, or those decisions that brought you there too.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.